Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Ultimate Despair Reprise. It's kind of an extra credit, I guess? I haven't come up with a name of this. I am, as usual, your ultimate host, Kyrie, and joining me is a very special guest. Citizen, if you would like to introduce yourself to the universe.
Hi, I'm Kira. I play, I guess if we're talking about Danganronpa in specific, I play Hyoko Sayonji in Danganronpa 2 and Kirumi Tojo in Danganronpa V3. And then I also reprise Hyoko for the anime.
Yeah, I know not everyone got to do that, but that was interesting. But yeah, it's really glad that, I'm so happy that you're here. I think we were talking earlier, you had just gotten back from a convention?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember which one.
Oh, it's because you go to so many, right?
Well, I actually don't go to that. It might have been like after I was like at ALA just hanging out, honestly.
Speaking of conventions, it was funny. I got in touch with you after Anime USA because you had put on like a judges panel, you put on a voice actor panel. And I was trying to reach out to you to be on this. And one thing that is always, it's very interesting. Like, you are almost, you're, like, there at these fan events, you know? Like, I look at the schedules and it's like, oh, Kira Buckland is doing, like, a panel on Pokemon Go and stuff. Like, what is it about, like, fan events and fan conventions that just gives you so much joy?
Well, I mean, I've always loved going to conventions, even, you know, before I was at the point where I could be invited to conventions as a guest and stuff. And even when I am a guest at conventions, I like to do, I feel like a lot of people, which isn't, this isn't meant to criticize or anything, but a lot of people, I feel like they do very generic, easy programming. And it's just kind of like, oh, ask me anything, whatever. And like, I'll do that if people want me to do it. But I kind of like to present on subjects that I'm passionate about as well. So sometimes if I'm like a guest at an event or something, they're like, oh, what topics do you want to do for your panels? I'll be like, yeah, I want to do like a JoJo's panel. I want to do a Pokemon Go panel. Because, I mean, those are things that I feel like knowledgeable and passionate about. And to me, that's more fun than just like talking about myself for an hour.
Sure, absolutely. Like, I remember, like, it was so funny. I went to the JoJo's panel, and it was just so well-researched and well-informed. What's the process like, making those panels happen?
Well, a lot of times I just come up with some notes beforehand. For the JoJo's panel, usually, like, the ones I do in Southern California are the ones that are really good because I get my friends who are, like, even deeper into JoJo history and stuff than I am. And so having them on there is really helpful. Like, one of my friends is just, like, one of the, you know, most old school JoJo fans in the U.S. I think she's made, like, more JoJo costumes than any American fan ever has.
Oh, really?
And, then another one of my friends, for example, he was an art history major, and so he talks about all of, like, the creator's art influences and things like that. So it really helps when you have good people to present with. But if I'm going, you know, to another state or something, I don't have them. So it's, like, it's harder to do it by myself, but I try to just kind of, like, research and just like make notes and things like that. And some of it is just from my own knowledge because I've been into certain things for so long.
Yeah. Besides JoJo's and Pokemon, anything else that kind of comes to mind?
I'm trying to because obviously I'm really passionate about music and like classic rock and stuff. And one time actually a couple times we did this, my best friend and I did a panel on classic rock influences in anime, manga, and video games. Ooh. And that was a really fun one. But I feel like I definitely need like him or somebody else to present that with me because he knows all about like One Piece and things like that and all the music references there. And I'm mostly like, well, I can talk about like JoJo references and Guilty Gear references and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh, we're huge fans of Guilty Gear here. Have you got a chance to play more of Rev 2?
Not as much as I'd like to. I kind of have been playing fighting games that I'm in lately just because I really wanted to play as me. Dead or Alive 6 I just got. And before that I was playing Soul Calibur 6.
Yeah, like I remember at that panel you announced that you were voicing Talon, right? In Soul Calibur 6. you had to sit on the knowledge that you, like, Tubi was, like, I imagine it was in production at that point. Like,
well, I recorded Tollum way before I recorded Tubi, because a lot of times the guest characters and stuff are decided a little later. So Tollum, like, I had to keep that secret for so long. But then, you know, when I found out that Tubi was coming, that was obviously incredibly secret as well, but I didn't have to wait as long. I can't remember exactly, like, how long the time frame was from when I recorded until when they announced that she was coming, but it wasn't like as long and agonizing of a wait.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was so happy that Tollum was brought back, because Tollum was like my main in like Soul Calibur 2.
Yeah, she was one of mine too, so I was really excited about that.
Yeah. So, like, what was that experience like, being able to play a like being able to voice a character that you have such a connection with, like Tollum?
That's amazing. I mean, honestly, like, the first fighting game that I ever voiced for was Dead or Alive 5, and then I did Street Fighter, and then I did Soul Calibur, and then, you know, like, DOA 6, which is obviously just, like, reprising my character. But that was, like, always my dream, was to voice a playable character in a fighting game, because that's kind of, like, what I want to play, and, you know, it's just, like, always something that I wanted to do, like, to have a character with my voice that I can play as and stuff. And I had been like a boss character in a fighting game before called Skullgirls, but you couldn't play as her.
Right?
Yeah.
I haven't touched Skullgirls in a while. That's pretty impressive. And by the way, like, sidebar, on our website, Scanline Media, we had a episode about best new fighting game character, and I was trying to bring up Falke, because I believe you voiced Falke in Street Fighter V.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried to fight for her, because, like, aww. I really liked her design. I really liked, like, just a lot of aspects of her controls and all that. It was very, I don't know, I fought for Falke, I played a little DOA 6 lately, and, like, if you get me started, I'll just talk about fighting games the entire time. Who's your favorite Guilty Gear character, by the way?
Dizzy. I used to cosplay her, and
really? Okay.
In my Dizzy costume, when I met the creator of Guilty Gear, he was a guest of honor at Anime Expo, like, a few years back or something, and so...
Really? Daisuke Ishiwatari?
Yep.
That's so cool.
I asked him what his favorite Queen song was. I was like, I'm not going to ask him the same questions that I'm sure everyone asks him, like, oh, will you put Goku in Guilty Gear or whatever? Like, I wasn't going to waste it on that, you know? I was
just going to be like... Soul Bad Guy is cooler than Goku. Soul Bad Guy once, like, seriously, Soul Bad Guy once, like, got assassinated by Ito back in time and said, nah, that ain't me, and prevented a time paradox. He's great.
I always feel like, I don't know if he's ever met Araki, but I feel like they would get along well because they could just talk about classic rock the whole time. And there is a JoJo reference in Guilty Gear. At least I'm pretty sure it is. I mean, I know, like, yada yada dezae is just, like, a phrase and but the way that Soul Bad Guy says it, like, he turns and kind of poses, he's like, yada yada dezae. Like, the same inflection as Jotaro, and I'm just like,
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely, like... The design influence is there. What is Daisuke Ishiwatari's favorite Queen song, though? I gotta know now.
Oh, it is My Melancholy Blues.
Really? Okay.
I was like, interesting. Okay.
My answer is usually Ogre Battle. Ogre
Battle.
That was
something we talked about during the Classic Rock panel. Because I guess there's, like, a game, like, an old game called Ogre Battle and, like, Ogre Tactics. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The sequel was called, I think the subtitle was We Will Cling Together, Tote to Korete. I can't remember Japanese at this hour. I'm sorry to all my Japanese teachers. But, like, yeah, like, the subtitle for that game was very much based on, like, Queen, and then, like, they wrote that song. It was great.
Yeah.
And speaking of JoJo's, I just thought of this question earlier. What would be your stand name, and what is that stand's ability?
Oh, so my stand is called Insomniac. It's named after a Green Day album, and it has the power to turn any liquid substance into coffee.
That's great. The answer I give is, I came up with this in college because an old girlfriend introduced me to JoJo's, and mine is called Desert Rose, and has two attacks. Yeah, it's two attacks. Synchronicity 1 and Synchronicity 2 based off of the Police song. And I was like, okay, Synchronicity 1 is like, Desert Rose can take on the aspect of something you can see. Synchronicity 2 is take on the aspect of something you can touch. And then there'd be like a move called Synchronicity Complete or something.
Oh, I like that.
I thought about it for a long time. Anyway, so can you tell me a little bit about what it was like voicing Hyoko and Kirumi in Danganronpa 2 and V3? Like, you know, you've voiced for fighting games, you've done, you know, character action games like 2B and others. What was the process like for recording those characters?
Well, obviously I did 2 some years before 3, but I remember I was really excited because I had like watched Let's Plays of like Danganronpa 1 and 2 online and stuff because you couldn't like play the games yet or whatever, but I was
there was the big Something Awful thread where that's where a lot of people got exposed to Danganronpa in the first place, just like reading along like dude's translation. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, so I was pretty familiar with it and familiar with the characters and stuff. And some of my friends were in the first game. And I remember being like, oh, like, I want to be in this. But I didn't get to audition or whatever. And they're like, oh, like, they didn't have auditions. They were, like, casting based off demos, essentially. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that sucks, whatever. And then, you know, a little while later, I get an email just out of the blue one day that's like, we want to cast you as Hyoko Sayonji. And I'm like,
that's pretty dope.
Yes. So it was really cool that I didn't even have to audition. Once in a while, that'll happen. A lot of times we do have to send custom auditions for games and stuff. But other times it's like, okay, well, the client would like to cast you based off your demo or like based off, you know, samples that the casting director sent or whatever. So I was excited because I like playing bratty mean girls. I'm sad I haven't got to play as many of them as of late. But I remember like it being, I think it helps a lot if you're familiar with the source material when you go in to record for something. Obviously, that's not always an option because half the time we don't even know what we're working on until we go in, or, you know, sometimes there's just not really a lot of information available on whatever we're recording, especially if they want to do like a simultaneous Japanese and English release like we did for
Nier. The game, right, like the game is still in production at that point.
Yeah, but I think it in this case, since there was some information available and I like knew the character and stuff, I feel like that made it easier to get into character for me. And then of course, like a lot of the stuff that you're voicing in a game like that, it's a lot of like the little one line generic dialogue sort of things, because when you have games like that that aren't fully voiced, you have like a list of generic like phrases like, oh, what's up? Hey there. Like, yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. And
yeah, like the vocal barks. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just kind of have to make sure that those will fit in a variety of situations. And then for 3, it was kind of an interesting situation because the cast got reused. I can't really go into details about like why or anything like that because I don't know if it's sure. public or not. And then also part of it has to do with a spoiler for the game. But anyway, like we auditioned for that, like the existing cast auditioned for different parts so they could kind of figure out where to place us. And I think, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not sure, but like maybe me being 2B helped for, yeah, you know, being placed as Kirumi. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
Funimation,
yeah, I was
like, well, these are basically the same characters, so.
Well, I was really excited to play characters that were like kind of the complete opposite, because I think, you know, as actors, even if we love playing a certain typecast, it always gets frustrating when, you know, because people online always want to have an opinion about things. And sometimes people be like, oh, well, she can only play this type of character. Like, she can only play like bratty girls with twin tails, or she can only do high pitched voice. And I'm like, no, that's not true. So, you know,
Kira, are you telling me people on the internet have opinions? What?
Right? So, like, what? I feel like people could look at Hyoko and Kirumi and be like, okay, they sound completely different. Like, we wouldn't have guessed that they were voiced by the same person. So, I think that's cool.
I couldn't have guessed, like, when I played it and listened to the English. It was like, I learned later. It was like, oh, Kira Buckland voiced her. That's incredible. So what kind of headspace do you usually get into when you're voicing those types of characters?
Well, a lot of times it just depends. Like for V3, I didn't really know too much about like the story going in beforehand or whatever, and I didn't actually know who I was playing until I went in. So I didn't really get to do my own research in that regard, but thankfully, we have like the director and like some of the clients there who can kind of tell us like, okay, well, here's what's going on. So like they told me about the backstory of my character and kind of what her role in the story was and what her personality is and stuff like that. So it took a little finding to try to be like, okay, here's where we want to like place like the base voice and personality sort of thing. 'Cause sometimes for games when we're going really fast, we don't always get to listen to the Japanese reference for every line. So
Right.
in that case, it's a lot of just kind of like trying to find that space where they're gonna sit.
Right. So and you're I can cut this out, you're free to like not answer this, but it's like, was it hard to voice for Kirumi knowing that you wouldn't be credited for that?
What do you mean? So I'm sorry, I'm a little confused.
Yeah, like did you like it was so weird, like I when I beat V3 and I had none of the like credits for like for English voice actors and
Oh,
like
that's like really common for JRPGs. So that's like we kind of just expect that now. Like, it's honestly, if a game does have credits, then it's a surprise. And there can be a variety of reasons for that. Sometimes it's to do with like union stuff. Sometimes it's just like they have everything all set in the Japanese version and they can't really like add stuff or there's like a lot of different reasons why
Right, like
it's
it's
not on.
already like they've already printed like or they've already finalized a lot of the code or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just know there's like some different facts. So it's like a lot of times whenever we do like any localized game, the actors just have to kind of like, okay, when is this coming out so I can post about it, But it's like we have to
Yeah.
be really, really careful and not post anything before it's out, obviously.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, I got a question for you. Like, who or what inspires you as an artist? Do it, be it, when you do voice acting or music or anything like that.
I think the biggest influence and inspiration in my whole life is David Bowie.
Yeah, I like one, like perusing your Twitter feed will show that. Yeah, like what about David Bowie speaks to you?
Oh, just everything. I mean, I think one thing that I love everything about him. I love his music. He was the hottest man who ever existed.
He really was, like,
Just his
real
like
talk.
creativity, but one thing that I liked about him was he was so unique. Even back in the 60s and 70s, he was just not afraid to be himself. He was not afraid to try new things. He was, I've always been like kind of eccentric and was like bullied for being weird growing up and all that kind of stuff. And with somebody like David Bowie, he's kind of like, it's okay if you're weird.
Yeah, he was fearless. I remember watching like Labyrinth back in the day, and it was so funny. Like before I began anything be resembling transition or anything, I think I looked at David Bowie and was like, "Oh, I understand things about myself a little better now."
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one who has had a little bit of a queer awakening because of David Bowie.
Yeah, I think he helped a lot of people kind of be like, oh, like it's okay to like be myself and to embrace like this side of me or, whatever.
Exactly. So let's see. What have you been working on lately? What anything that you've been you wanted to talk about?
Let's see. I was the lead in a Netflix show for kids called Yoo-hoo and Friends, and it's like these really cute little animals. So I've been telling people like if you have younger siblings or you have kids or you babysit, like it's something super cute that you can watch with them. And since I'm the title character, you hear me a lot.
What is that like? Like, going in there and voicing like a children's, like a character for a children's show.
It's really fun because a lot of it, we get to play a lot. And then for some of that show, it was weird. Like some of it was dubbing, and then some of it we got to actually record the voices first. And because I do so much localization work, I'm used to always having to match a voice or timing from another language. And so for the episodes where we did get the creativity of kind of being able to voice it first and kind of set the timing and everything, that's really fun. And for those episodes, we got to record with the whole cast, because that's something that you never get in video games, really. Like, we're always just recording individually. So getting to play off other actors is like such a rarity.
Yeah, like I from what I know about like the Japanese like seiyuu industry, they tend to like record in the same room, whereas with American voice acting like setups, most of the time they're kind of like you do it at separate times. So like, what was that like, being able to like be in the same room and play off each other?
That was really cool. I mean, it's something that obviously can't be a thing on a lot of projects like games, with, you know, budget constraints, scheduling, like all that. There's like a million reasons why it's just not efficient to do it that way. But like, it is fun for original animation when you get to do that.
Yeah. And you also like tend to do a lot of like fan animations, it seems like. Has there been anything you've been working on like that?
No, I used to do a lot of that kind of stuff back in the day, but now I'm trying to focus more on like, you know, this is like my full-time job right now. So right. I'm trying to like really make it my business, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, once in a while I'll do like a fun thing for a friend or whatever, like a JoJo project or something, but.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess, my last question for you is, if you could get like one message out to the world that would be perfectly understood by everyone everywhere, what would that be?
Oh, wow, that's that's hard to
a lot of responsibility to be able to talk to everyone in the world at once.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, there's a few. I mean, I think like just telling people to treat others how they would like to be treated. I mean, it's something you hear all the time, but so many people don't follow that, and I really wish that more people would. Unfortunately, just human nature is the way that it is, but I wish a lot of times, especially online, because it's so easy to be nasty, I wish that people would kind of think like, okay, hey, I'm talking to another human being here. Like, maybe I should, you know, even like respectfully disagree, or, you know, just, I don't know.
Be cool. Just be cool. Like, I'm pretty sure Mr. Rogers told everybody to, like, chill out and be cool and, like, get along.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, like, spay and neuter your cats.
Well, Kira, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. Got anything you want to plug? This is the plug zone of this particular podcast.
Yes, actually, because I know a lot of times when people listen to podcasts with voice actors and things like that, they say like, oh, I'm interested in doing this, or maybe I want to, you know, kind of get started, or I want to connect with other actors, content creators, that sort of stuff. So I'm the admin of a site called Voice Acting Club, and we're a forum, we're a Discord server. We actually just launched our website the other day. It's funny because on April 1st, we launched our website, but as a joke. So we had like a fat Pikachu emoji and like Comic Sans and like a horrible background.
Big Chungus Pikachu or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then we were like, okay, now it's April 2nd. So we launched our real website, but it's voiceactingclub.com. Super easy to remember. And if you go to that site, you can find like our forums, our server. I've written tons and tons of articles that I've volunteered my time for. That's just kind of like everything people want to know about like voice acting and online voice acting and, you know, what to do and for this
how to
or
get
that.
Started and not yeah, to like yeah. bust your voice. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, Kira, it has been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you coming on. And to everybody, check out that website. Was it voiceactorsclub.com? I've already forgotten. It's like 11 o'clock.
Voiceactingclub.com. Close.
Voiceactingclub.com. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure to put it in the show notes in the description. Ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in between, it's been Kira Buckland. Kira, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. And everybody, class dismissed.